Whoa now, what's happening? This is the Maniacal Menace Cosmos speaking from the future about the past and the present. Man, at this point in time, the world is wild. The world has gone nutso. But at this point in time, during this time in the cast, I talked to Pops. Me and my dad had a great discussion. It was good to talk to him like this. Stay safe out there. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at Maniacal Menace on Instagram, maniacalmenace.com. That's ManiacalMenace.
It's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
There we go. What's up? Back again to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing a dream. And today I'm sitting here with the man, the maker, the guy that made me who I am today, my father, Kevin Smith.
Man. Hello, everybody. You can't blame me for everything. I try.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, I got you on my podcast. Tell me a joke. And basically, what it is me. I talk about what it is, what it takes to make it as a dreamer, to follow your dreams, and you know what it's taken for me to get to where I want to go. And basically, this is the process of me trying to get somewhere. And I'm in this process. I'm back here in Texas. I'm about to embark on another journey to California again to go get the rest of my things, because that was the plan that I had to do. I had to really come up with a cheap way of being able to get myself back down home, closer to family. But also have my things safe and secure, since I wasn't going to be staying out in California anymore. And now that I'm down here, which I've made it, caught a plane, and I brought my stuff to a friend's house, and now I have to go drive back up there, which is the cheap, feasible way for me. That was the only way I was able to think of it, and go get my things and then drive back. So this is... Yeah.
Well, it's just part of the journey.
Yeah.
Your grandmother, my mother is 86 years old, and I'm 63. And I look at that in the way I look at it as, let's see, my dad died at 85. She's still 86. I figure I got at least 20 more years to go.
20.
So
yeah.
I'm going to keep on dreaming until that day comes where I'm in some place that I've been dreaming about being since I was a kid. May not be here, but it'll be someplace I've always wanted to be. But until then, I'll be on this earth still chasing my dreams. So
there you go. Well, what was your dream to begin with?
When I was younger, my original dream was to be a... real estate entrepreneur. And you know, I'm still chasing that dream. I'm still out there trying to make that happen. But like I said, I'm looking and I figure I got at least 20 more years to make that happen. I always think about Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken, who started his empire out of the back of a station wagon selling chicken at 60 years old.
Really? Is that how that started?
That's how it started.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that's one of the things that keeps my dream alive. I figured, hey, if it takes me another 20 years, I figure I at least got 20 more years to live anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna keep at it. Keep at it till I can no longer think or do for myself or until I make it.
Right. Oh, well, I've, in my eyes, it's always seemed like I've known that you've always wanted to draw, and that was one of the things, but drawing aside, in my mind, it seems like y'all always have made it, because I've never had to live a life of you know, it wasn't a terrible upbringing. It was always, I've mentioned to Rosalind yesterday that we've always lived in a two-story house. You know, there was never any point to where I could remember. Well, no.
Well, making it is what you make of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Living in a two-story house, you know, in suburbs, you know, always having food to eat and clothes on your back, mm-hmm. and you know, going to like private schools or something like that. And it was always a sacrifice.
Mm.
So even though it seemed like we were always doing great, we went on vacations. We made sure we took y'all with us.
Every year we always had a vacation.
Yeah. And as I look back at it, it's like, yeah, every year is further and further in debt. Didn't always have the cash to go on those vacations, but we always wanted y'all to have, to see things and do things and have a somewhat good life.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
But we always wanted y'all to do better than us.
Mm-hmm.
So that was still one of our wishes and dreams, is that y'all always do better. That's why we always encourage y'all to do better.
Yeah.
To do good. I guess Roberto and I were talking, it was like, man, we wish we would have understood what you were thinking about when you were coming up or a teenager, because being out in front of people, or being a comic or an actor, we just did not see
didn't
it.
Didn't see that at all. No.
We had no idea.
I had no direction either, so I didn't know what I wanted. I just understood that I knew that school wasn't for me. I was like, I can't keep still. Mm. I don't want to be quiet. I have to say things, and I want to be in front of people somehow. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what that was leading to until like it all came together. Once I got out, and I was like, oh, but then now being this person I am now, I see it more, and I'm like, oh, so, okay, this was my destiny, kind of, sort of. I was supposed to be this person here, but back then, you know, you don't have that type of structure or guidance, because it really wasn't seen as that back then.
It was just a cut up in school.
Yeah.
Being a teenage boy, just cutting up in school.
Had no idea.
Crazy stuff. And now, you know, we look back at it, and some of this stuff makes good jokes.
Yeah, very much so.
Very much so.
Very much so. And it helps me excel compared to other people, because, I mean, people can actually relate to it as well. And now that being older and seeing my upbringing, like, I have more discipline on my actions now, so I don't, it's not that I'm not all over the place with it. I can kind of hone it in, like it's a special attribute that I have, that whenever I need to be silly, I can be silly, but I also can be serious at times too, because, you know, you're an adult now, not everything can always be silly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure you've been through some things in your life growing up to this point that gives you variety, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's lots of suburb jokes you can come up with.
There's things that there were certain things that we used to do around. Every time y'all would get the newsletter in the suburbs, and they was talking about when we were staying in Tall Timbers, and they had the disturbances, and how the disturbances used to, how they would go up. You would have more cases of disturbances. Yeah, that was me and my friend. Yeah. We would go out and disturb the neighborhood, mm-hmm. because we had we had nothing else to do.
It's funny how you don't, you don't find out about them things until you're adults and you figure out, well, he can't spank me now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We older now. I'm going to punish myself. Yeah, no, anything. No TV. I don't watch TV anyway. It doesn't matter now. So,
you're lucky. You could probably outrun me, dude.
Yeah. Well, if these knees keep up, you know, like we all... It's all getting up there nowadays. If I can get that first step off without that knee going out, then I'll be all right. But if not, you'll probably be right there behind me.
So every 10 feet, I got to take a breath. You know, so, you know.
Oh.
Every 10 seconds, you'll get a step on.
Yeah, it was a wild upbringing. I'm glad that I didn't have to go through such turmoil besides, you know, being a disobedient adolescent, which is, of course, that comes with the craziness that I am instilling myself, I guess. But I realized that it wasn't like that we were really privileged, because like yesterday, as I was talking to my sister, Rosalind, because they had a discussion about how they were bougie, how we were bougie, because we stayed on the West Bank, and Claude apparently stayed in the East. He was like, y'all stayed close to Eastover. Y'all stayed close to English Turn. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, man, but English Turn ain't nothing. It's just the house, it's a bigger gated community. That's all it is. And Lil Wayne and them might have stayed in there or whatnot, but it ain't expensive. It's just English, it's just another area. And I was like, yeah, we not bougie, but then I realized that, you remember Leo? You remember Leo? Yeah. Well, Leo stayed in the Fisher. And the Fisher, for everybody that doesn't know, is a project. They're not there no more. They're there, but they're not, I don't think it's the Fisher anymore. They're not really project. They fixed them up, but it's still an area that's like, oh, you got to watch out. But the first time I really seen like poverty, like when a friend, well, I was like, oh, you not living well off. Like when I actually went to spend the night by Leo's house, and basically, they took a bath in the same water, and he was just like, man, hurry up and get in there, so you know, so the water don't get cold on you. And I'm like, yeah, no, what? we bathed on the daily at my place, so I don't know about this situation here, but apparently that I guess the water bill is high. I'm not sure. I don't know why y'all have to live this way, but you know what? I'm not gonna stoop to this level today. And I'm sorry that you have to feel like that, but you know, it was wild to see. It was something crazy to see, because they all stayed in one, they slept in one room, basically. Like the younger siblings slept in one room. The other ones, they slept outside. I mean, they slept in the front room on a sofa bed, and their mama had their own room, and it was a good amount of people in there. And I was like, wow, this is very uncomfortable. It gives a reason why you always smell like Afro Sheen, you know. And I was just like, well, you know, you can't wash your clothes every day, and you only have one shirt, you know. I never understood how good I had it until I seen that side of it. I was like, oh, it can get worse than this. Like, I'm glad I was fortunate enough to not be able to have to live that way. But yeah, people.
I mean,
it's rough out there.
Did you see that at the time?
That
you were fortunate.
Oh, especially when I saw that.
Did it affect you any?
No, it did not. It did not at all. I was just like, ooh. Apparently, your parents ain't doing what my parents doing. My parents stuck to it. I guess that's what that is. Like, I've always wondered. Like that. That's the reason why I talk about taxes, because I never had. I never had taxes. I never knew what tax returns were until, like, I got older as an adult. Like, I always thought that was just like a second Christmas, because whenever we stayed on Shannon and the new year came around and everybody got new bikes after Christmas, I was like, how you getting a new bike, man? Christmas is gone already. He was like, man, it's tax season. I was like, what is that? I don't know nothing about tax season. Like, how you getting new things during tax season? When did this holiday come about, and how come my parents don't know? And so it was getting older, you realize, oh, if your parents are in a different tax bracket, they don't get money back. Yeah. So it was like, oh, it made sense. It made sense. Like the first time I actually got taxes back, I was like, oh, this is how you get bikes and extra toys during tax season. I get it. You know, but, you know, that's when you get older, you realize these things. Yeah. You know? And
yeah, it's not until you get older and mature enough to look back and go, oh man, that was stupid.
Yeah. It's fun though. It's fun to look back at it now, being like, oh man, I almost died. That is it's crazy.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look back and go, I wasn't that great either. You know? I did some things and wondered how I got home that night. You know, woke up the next morning, it's like, how did the car get there? Where was I last night? Okay, you call your buddy and go, how did I, do you remember anything? No, I don't remember nothing, man. I don't know. So we're gonna do better at this. Okay, next time. All right.
Did you ever drink at a young age?
Yeah, I think I was talking about how I got home one
night. Oh, okay. That's because in my head,
my daddy don't drink.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that you just started drinking like first time ever in life, which was like a few years ago.
No, when I was a teenager, that's how I got my nickname.
What?
You don't even know what my nickname is.
No.
Yeah, ask my friends what their nickname is. Huh. My nickname is Chiwi.
Chiwi.
Like the Cheetos, Cheese Puffs.
I remember you had that nickname when in the Air Force, they call you Mr. Cheese. I guess they wasn't supposed to, but they call you Mr. Cheese because you've always was like the boss over people. Like you was.
Yeah, well, not always, but I got mean, there.
I every time. See, this is the misconceptions I've had of my father. I've always thought he was on top of everything.
Well, just, once I was your father, yes, I was always on top of things. I never drank while I was your father in front of you. No, but when I was a teenager, me and my partners and some friends went out and got pissy drunk, and we stopped at one of the places over by your grandmother's house. There was a place called the Ice House. Huh. If anybody knows what the Ice House was from way back there, it's where you got alcohol. It was basically like a little general store, and they said, I don't remember. They said I walked in the store, grabbed a big old bag of Cheetos because I love Cheetos.
Yeah, I love Cheetos as well.
And just walked out the store with it.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know if anybody paid for it afterwards. All I know is, they said I ain't steal that. I have to pay it for that. You have money in your pocket? I ain't steal that. Y'all lying. Well, after I sat there and we were riding around drinking and I ate up the whole bag of Cheetos, I sat down in front of my friend's house and just threw it all up.
Oh.
So from then on, everybody called me Chiwis.
Oh. That wasn't
cheese there. That goes blah.
Oh.
So ever since I was Chiwi.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Chiwi.
Chiwi.
Yeah.
I think I would say that was the last time I got drunk like that, but.
Huh. Usually that's always the last time we want to get drunk like that until the next time we get drunk like that. And then it's like, oh, I'm not going to do this again. Yeah. I've coined a nickname Flip because in college, anytime we would go out and party and everything, they'd be like, Flip, Flip, and I would flip. And it didn't matter how drunk I was. I'm always gonna do some type of tumble set.
Mm-hmm. And so you usually landed on your feet.
Usually, I've never messed up doing that. And I've had like, I think the most beers I've had before I've done one to where I was like, I probably can't have another beer and do this, was like four Heinekens. And yeah.
I mean, did you ever do a flip and it was like, oh, it's coming back up?
No. Usually, because nowadays I stick away. Well, back then it was just all types of stuff. But I had the stomach of a young teen at that time, or just a young adolescent at that time. And it was a wrought iron stomach to where I could just kind of consume alcohol and be okay. I would still vomit though. It didn't take much for me. A little bitty kidneys because I'm tiny. I throw it up. But you know, I would be able to drink more now. Now that I'm getting older, I realize, oh, okay, now I'll probably take one or two beers, but I don't like hard liquor anymore.
But once I got married. I didn't drink like that anymore. I mean, actually, once I got out of high school, basically, a couple of years after that, I just stopped. Well, it was probably after the night where me and my partners was out on the lakefront just drinking up a storm, and the time between being on the lakefront, drinking up a storm, getting in my 1967 Hot Rod Mustang.
Uh-oh.
And when I woke up in the morning, everything was a blur.
Oh, no.
I don't know how I got home. Don't know how the car got home.
Mustang stick shift?
No, automatic. But after that, I can't do that no more.
Yeah.
Because I was lucky that I didn't tear up the car.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't drink like that anymore.
Yeah, there's a few of those nights where it's just like, I remember that going tubing with some friends, and I realized that Budweisers are not my friend at all. I can't drink. I think it's like four cans of Budweiser, and that's it. And but most of the times that I did that, I hadn't eaten anything. But I realized that, yeah, but Budweiser is, that's, I definitely steer away from Budweiser drink as a beer to drink, a beer of choice. I don't drink those no more. Because on this tubing trip, towards the end of the tubing trip, I wasn't even at the end yet. We was like towards the middle, and I got escorted out by the police. And I was like, nah, I don't deal with police. And they was like, you willingly got in the boat, Kyle? And I was like, I willingly got in the boat? I guess I was messed up, but yeah, I understood. I got it at that time. Like I vaguely remember certain things. I don't remember getting home. I remember being in the boat, and I remember when the police came, when the security came. It was on the water. They was like, "Hey, you're not supposed to be drunk in the water." And I was like, "I'm not drunk in the water. I'm drunk in my tube, sir." And it was like, oh, you got to come with us. Because I was on the rocks still. I was like, I'm good. I'm all right. Look at this. And I went to go do a handstand, right? And I thought that I had the best handstand, the prettiest handstand out there. Basically, what happened was I just mashed my head into the rocks and just stuck my butt up in the air. Feet didn't even go up. We wasn't even in the handstand, but I thought I was doing a handstand. And then when I got up and I was like, oh, All right, I get in the boat then. Like, I understood that I was really messed up. But I don't remember from then on how I got home. I just remember waking up in the back of a truck. Like, oh, all right, I guess we made it. Some good times.
Yeah. One of our goals was always to make y'all get y'all to 18
mm-hmm.
alive.
Yeah.
That was our main goal.
Yeah.
To get y'all 18 and alive.
We did. So. We made it. We, made it unscathed, which barely though, because we've put ourselves in some dangerous situations. And me not being a parent, but seeing what Kevin goes through as a parent, and
revenge.
Knowing that I have nieces and nephews and how close they come to danger, it's like, oh, You really feel that on the inside. I guess back in the 90s, I don't know how y'all felt about it, but nowadays everything is, you can see everything. It's even more scarier to actually see what happened instead of just think about it in your head. Well,
back in those days, your sister and brother, you know, they basically was the same age, and they became teenagers. Like, well, We want to. Can we have a pager?
I remember that.
What you want a pager for? Well, all our friends got pagers, and we want a pager, and everybody's got pagers. I said, no. The only people out there that have pages is drug dealers and doctors. Which one are you? They didn't ask for pages anymore.
Yeah. It seemed feasible. It's like, well, I wanted something like that just so I can go down the street and hang with my friends, because I lived life in stages. It's like, all right, you can go across the street now. And it's like, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, finally, I can go to the corner once I got a little bit older.
As long as I can see you. You can go to me. If I step out and I look out, I better be able to see you.
I was so much older than everybody, and I couldn't go nowhere. Everybody be like, we going around the corner, Kyle. You just stay here and tell us what happened on the street. I guess. Let me go ask my daddy. I'll be back. We're not about to wait for you to ask your daddy, Kyle. I'm like, all right, I guess so. And I would just have to wind up playing by myself until they came back. Oh, man.
Yeah.
The times I had, it was just, Fun times, though. Fun as a child, just things to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Things to remember.
When you survive them.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you survive, you know, it was like the same thing as me in the military. I look back and go, man, that was some great time. Man, we military, it was fun. You know, in the desert eating sand, man. Running away from scorpions and stuff. Huh. That was great times, man. We didn't think so at the time.
Huh.
Oh, no. It takes a lot of time. Sand, dust, storms come by and you're on the face, and then they got dust in places you didn't know you had cracks.
It's got to be terrible.
Oh, yeah, well, it's terrible.
I don't like being uncomfortable nowadays.
Yeah, you think back now and it's like, yeah, that was great. Like, we can do that again. I thought about it now
because at one point in time, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. And I was like,
this
is what I want to do. And I don't like cold water now. I don't like cold water at all. I don't like being uncomfortable. It's just like, wow. If I'd have did that back then, maybe I could have dealt with it. Yeah. But now? Oh, no. Definitely not. Nah. And then somebody yelling at me? I'm way too old for you to be yelling at me like that, sir. I can't. Nah. It won't. It doesn't seem like that. Going into the military at this age, now that wouldn't. Would they take me? They'd take me, huh? They'd still.
37 soldiers.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I'm close.
Yeah, but you'd have to cut everything off, so, you know.
Yeah, oh, that's not
first time
that.
You hear the clips, go, let me out of here.
Now, I've had dreams that some people that I've been with, that had, they woke up and they cut my hair, and I'm like, nope, I can't have that. That frightens me from time to time.
Yeah, but dreams, you know, don't ever stop dreaming. You stop dreaming, it means you're dead.
Mm.
So,
keep
dreaming, you know. Guys at work will say, hey, man, they'll say, hey, man, how you doing? And the other guy will go, hey, man, this is living the dream. They come and ask, how you doing, man? I'm just dreaming to live.
Yeah.
I'm just dreaming to live. If I stop dreaming, I'm dead.
Mm. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got 20 more years, man, and I'm 63. At least.
So I
think if your grandma lived to 90, boy, I'm cruising.
Yeah. That's a good, that's a good, I like thinking like that, because I'm like, well, you 63 and you're a healthy looking 63.
Oh, I just look it.
Yeah. That's what people see on social media and everything. Mm-hmm. They're like, Kyle, you doing great. Oh, it looks like I'm doing good. Good. I'm glad that it looks like I'm doing good, because inside, it's tearing me down. Okay.
That's the impression we want to give you.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And you're wearing your 63 well, sir. And I'm looking forward to another 30 years of this year. I got another 30 years, and then I'm gonna be at that age and this physique. And people will still like me if I'm a comic at 63.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, I just at some point in time between this, I need to have a kid. I feel as if that needs to happen at some point.
Why?
I don't know. I want to see another little me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A mini me?
Yeah, right. That's what I want. I want to see a little smile on me, like watching this Kevin Hart little special just now. I was like, man, that's awesome.
But you know, make sure that you're at the point where you can love and take care of that child. You know?
Yeah, because
got too many of them out here that they have them and they're not loving and taking care of them, and you know, not everybody could wind up growing up like and winding up like Kevin Hart. There's too many of them out there that's still struggling, you know, because maybe dad wasn't around and mom had to struggle to raise them.
Right.
You know, I had to fight to get y'all.
Yeah.
And I tried to do the best I can, best I could.
And
I don't think you did too bad.
No, you did pretty. You did pretty well. You did amazing. Because like most people nowadays, I've actually had an argument with somebody that I was like, I was raised with my dad. My mom wasn't there, and it was like, what? How were you raised by your mama died? I was like, nah, my dad got custody of us. How your daddy got custody? I was like, what you mean? Anytime in a custody battle, the mom always gets custody. I was like, you dumb. Like, why would you think that? Like, it doesn't, it all depends on the circumstance.
And she didn't understand that at all. Daddy didn't fight hard enough.
Huh.
That's all.
That is all.
Yeah. If you can prove that you can and want to do the better job, then it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, she didn't understand that at all. And that's why I was like, I can't talk to you anymore. We're going to have to cut this out. But it's that's good. You've instilled the mentality in me to like just keep pushing and work for what I want. And, you know, this is what got me this far. Yeah. It feels like slightly of a burden on you guys that I'm here, but it's just because that's my inner feelings, and I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. You know, it is. I'm glad that I'm able to have family here for me, but at this point, I feel kind of useless. I feel kind of helpless, kind of sorta.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't stopped putting you to work yet. We just need to get out there. We got grass needs to be cut, trees need to be cut. We got some digging to do.
Manual labor is our forte. That's what we've been raised on. We know how to fix some things. We're ready to put them hands to work. I tell everybody, once I did this Comedy Central thing, like being out there to go shoot film and all that, I was like, this is cool just sitting around. But I'm like, man, I worked 32 hours this week and I took off on Friday. I know I'm getting paid for this, but I can't just sit here. I feel I need to do something. So I started cleaning up. I started putting things together. I started checking receptacles. I was just like, this, I don't know. I can't, I'm up this early. I need to be doing something. I'm not used to not.
We gotta get you, like going get your things from California is that next step.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, that's gonna be the thing that's gonna put California behind you.
Right.
As long as you had that attachment there, you know, that thought of California was always gonna be there. Once you go get your things and get them back here, that step is behind you.
Yeah.
This is the next step.
Yeah. That's exactly what I felt like. I was like, all right, I gotta get that. It's like an ex girlfriend. Yeah. I was like, I'm gonna get my stuff, and then we're gonna be done.
Yeah. Put it behind you. Mm-hmm. This is the next step. You just gotta always look at wherever you're at. It's the next step.
Yeah.
It's just like going up and down the spiral staircase. You know, wherever step you're at, it's the next step.
Hmm.
You can either step back, or you can step up.
Ooh.
So
step up to the streets. Stepping into the new year. Oh yeah. Just to update on everybody, that little audition that I went to that I didn't know was gonna be about. I got that job. So we out here working, and it's funny because it was a job. It's a job. Like I came out here and I had in my mind. I wanted to like find places to where I can go be a host at, and you know, use more of my entertainment skills instead of just doing straight electrical, But I still have that as a background to something to fall back on. But immediately as I came down here, that's one of the things that I found was this host job and hosting bingos and stuff and like three or four nights a week. You know, so it's not anything that's gonna put me in a bracket of you know, like my electrical job or anything like that. And it's, I can still do electrical during the day, but this is something that gets me back into the working field and gets things, gets the wheels turning again.
And that's the way you should look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know which type of audience you have out there, but I have to give all the glory to my Jesus Christ, because mm-hmm. we have never given up on believing and staying true to that faith, and that faith has always gotten us through no matter how much we didn't have, you know, going through. We've always had that faith that, you know, he's going to come through for us. So mm-hmm. we stick with that faith.
Yeah, my audience knows the power of prayer. We've had moments together where it's like I just had to sit down and pray about things because I didn't know how I was going to get out of certain situations as I was out there. And everything just falls into place. It is weird how things come together like that, and I just be like, thank you, because I mean, I don't specifically ask for anything when I pray. I just want to be protected and, you know, just guided in the right direction.
Well, you just got to be ready to receive when it's handed to you. Mm. You know, and you got to have your eyes and your ears open to be able to recognize when it's handed to you. Mm-hmm. You know, like this opportunity here, I mean, yeah. Don't look at it as a handout or whatever. We're your parents, you know. We're always going to love you. But, you know, I'm kicking you out in 6 months, so, you know, you're going to have to do it.
Oh, man. So you see where he get his jokes from, yeah? You should have seen any of that, though. His eyes got as big as golf balls.
They almost came out of my face. Oh, my God.
We're gonna help him get through as much as he can get through. Oh, yeah. But like I said, you got to be ready when an opportunity comes at you. You got to jump at it and take it, mm-hmm. and be able to recognize that it's an opportunity.
Yeah,
you know. So
yeah,
just like coming back here, that was, you know, that opportunity.
It was a
very
small window too. Yeah, it was a very small window. So man. I didn't know how I was going to do this. And this is still a process of me coming back. So it's just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That got a little rough.
Yeah. And the comedy scene here is growing. It's kind of, they got some places out here that's doing comedy like every week, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, the improv is open. So.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. There's still Dallas, there's still Austin, there's still all these other places to hit. Like I'm gonna treat it just like California, but I'm pretty sure I like it a lot better when it comes to the people, especially. Yeah. And I have a group of friends out here compared to like in LA. I mean, I met friends out there, but out here I've actually closer friends out here. So yeah,
You got three of the largest cities in the country right here in this state. If you can't find some folks that like you, you ain't likable.
I'm adorable. They're going to love me. They can't help but to love me. Yeah. Oh, you know what? When I went to that bar, as soon as I went to the bar, I just walked up to the bar. He was like, I like your energy, dude. Who are you here for? I was like, I'm just here for this little show thing over here. Can I get a beer? He was like, yeah, man. You sure can. He was just the nicest dude. He ain't never seen me in there before or anything like that. I didn't even say nothing. I was just up there smiling. He was like, man, I like your energy. I was like, okay, I didn't do nothing yet, but I appreciate that, man.
Keep it that way. Mm-hmm. Always keep a smile. Yeah. Always keep a smile. People rather see a smile than a frown.
Yeah. And that's I learned that from cheerleading. Just because, like, people don't know when you're messing up. As long as you're smiling, they can't tell what you're supposed to be doing or not.
That's right.
So if you just keep going and keep smiling, you know, makes other people feel better.
So, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Smiles do help. Smiles and hugs.
I'm still working on my dream, you know. I was talking about the real estate. Still got houses out there. I've been buying and selling, renting houses for 30 years. You know? Just haven't hit that big magic number, but like I said, I still got 20 years left.
But you've been doing it, though. You've been...
Yeah, I'm doing it. Huh. That's the main thing. Do it, you know. You learn as you go. I'm still learning every day. So I'm still going to stick with that real estate and still try to make that work.
Yeah,
and it might not happen until I retire and do it full time. But
there's still, oh man, I thought retired from what though? How many times have you retired?
Once.
Who are you gonna be retiring from this time? Halliburton. Man, that's so wild. Mm-hmm. There's so much. So and then after that, it's just boom. I'm gonna just be working on my dream after that.
Yeah. Yeah,
and entrepreneurial and real estate agent. Mm-hmm. That's cool. We could be like Homes on Homes in the Next Generation Homes.
And I teach you how to invest in.
Yeah. I definitely need to get into that though.
I'll drag you around.
I'm with it.
You'll meet some folks, you know. Like I said, there are folks out there that are willing to help you, but. You know, you'll find that most of them are like, man, you want to learn how to do this? You want me to show you how to do this? You want me to help you do this? What you need? I'll help you, but you know,
right.
I got to get a little bit more. We're going to get a little bit over here too. So I never had anybody refuse to show me how to work that thing. So, but you know. You can't be mad and say, oh, they just want something.
Everybody wants something. And that's, you learn that lesson quick in this entertainment field. It's like, oh, that's why I try to do most of the stuff myself now. Yeah. It's like, well, all right, I came to you first. You ain't never come to me yet. You want to help me out? It's like, well, I need this done. And well, hold on. You know, can we do this right quick? And then, oh, I'm going to need this. And you know what? I think I could do this my own. Don't worry about it.
Sometimes they're just looking to see how much you're willing to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they just want to see you sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to crawl through the mud to get to the top of the hill?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind getting dirty.
Yeah.
I definitely don't mind getting out there. I just need to.
But no, I'd love to I'd bring you along and show you what it is out there, what it's like, what it's about. You know, I've been trying to get brothers to do this for a long time. They just don't want to do it.
No, it's very lucrative. Like everybody that I've seen that is actually in real estate and it lives well.
Hey, look at the president.
Everybody's doing.
How did he make it? Real estate.
Real estate, man. By investing in some property, that's what you need. That's definitely what I want. That's how you keep your keep it going.
This land we're living on here is not cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. Just to be able to go outside and look at the pond and think and be like. Oh, this is a lot better than walking out into the clutter of just every day. You know, it was nice out in LA, but yeah, you don't get this. It's like a sanctuary. You know, it's quiet. You know, and it's something to look at, something to reflect on. Out there, you're really not sure what you're gonna get. It's beautiful to look at things, but you gotta actually get past the smog and the pollution and all that to actually go see it. And it's like, well, okay, hopefully no fires come.
Yeah, well, but this was Marilyn's dream, so she got it. You know, still a work in progress according to her.
So work in progress
always. But And I've still got mine, so I'm not gonna, haven't given up on it yet.
That's good. And it also felt amazing that with our knowledge of electrical, we was able to come in here and actually help our father work Rewind on electrical. That felt good. I was like, oh man, I could put my expertise to use.
Oh yeah, well, according to Maryland, you ain't done.
No, that's good. That's fine. I need something to do. I need something to take my mind off of the inevitable about what's life going to be like for me in the future. I hate thinking about it. So, you know, I try to.
Well, what do you think your future is going to be like?
Like that guy on TV.
All right.
Yeah. It's going to be exactly like that. I got to find out when it's supposed to be happening. I don't know. I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. And I know it's just.
Could be tomorrow. Be next week. It's just you got to be ready.
Yeah.
And fortunately for you, you don't have anything tying you down.
Right. And it's so strange how all that worked out. Like, I've tried, but, you know, now I don't have any of that.
You know, love you guys, but, you know, you guys were my sacrifice.
Yeah. Kevin said the same thing. He wanted to be a veterinarian. And the kids came.
Yeah. Well, you guys were my sacrifice. Well, you know how things happen and went about. So, taking care of you two were my priority, so other priorities just went on the wayside.
Yeah.
So, you have no other that we know of out there that are... he's telling us about it. So, make the best of it.
Yeah.
Make the best, like your little brother.
Yeah. Enjoying that.
That boy stays broke.
Really?
Yes.
How? He should have so much.
The second week he was in Japan, he was in Tokyo driving some type of little...
Oh, the go-karts. He was playing Mario Kart in Japan for real.
That was not cheap. where did he suppose he was supposed to have gone to for New Year's Eve? Amsterdam.
Huh. Wow. That's not
he's on an island now. Yeah. So anywhere as he goes, he has to fly.
Whew.
So, but no kids, no wife, just himself.
Just himself. Enjoying it.
And just living it up.
Yeah, that's
so.
If people need to see my face, and I need to start getting places. Like everywhere I go, people's like, "We love you down here." Just like, mm-hmm. I know. I just need to get to other places, because if I just go places and smile and people's like, "Oh, I like your energy." I didn't even say nothing yet, sir. Wait till I start talking.
Take advantage of the situation you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to do. Man.
You know how you said, "Oh, man, going back to California, making that drive, it's going to suck this time."
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. It's a different reason. Hmm? Then change the reason.
Exactly what it sounded like.
Then change, yeah. And I'm thinking, it's like, what's the reason? You go and cut off that chapter. You go and end that chapter so you can start another one. That's the last leg on that chapter.
Oh, yeah, that's an amazing way to look at it.
Yes, it is.
Good.
I'm going to close out the last chapter, the last leg of that chapter.
Oh.
That's, yeah. Not that, man, it's going to be a terrible drive because I got to go back there. No. I can get an opportunity to go and close out the last leg of that chapter. Because I'm starting another one. Imagine a book you could write.
Actually, since you're saying that, this has been documented like that. I started this when
chapter
I went out
32.
To, when I went out to L.A., I started this podcast, and now it's led to this.
Okay.
And it's like, boom, next chapter. It's just like, basically, once people get here, they're going to be turning the page, and it's like, oh, you got to...
You may be out there doing a little bingo or something, and somebody just happened to stumble in there and go, "I thought this was a club. Yeah. They're doing playing bingo. Who's the funny guy up there?" "Oh, I like him. I think I might go get a card just to listen to him." Or, "Man, can I use it? I got a flat outside, my cell phone died. Can we use the phone? Who's the guy up there?" Hmm. It's kind of funny. I got a show. I might want to use him. Mm. Mm-hmm. Things happen.
Things do happen. Things do happen.
Yeah. Oh. You just got to take advantage of them when they come.
Mm-hmm. I most certainly will.
So this trip to California is not the end of the story.
No.
So,
no.
Right? It's just closing out that other chapter. Because if you didn't, then those clothes have been, the other stuff have been hanging out there from you don't know how long, and you got to be worrying about it.
Yeah.
You know, what's happening. Yeah. You know, their house might have caught on fire and all your stuff would have caught on fire.
Yeah.
No. This is, you're just, you're going, be happy. You're going, you have the opportunity presented to you to go and close out that last leg of that chapter.
Yeah. I get to get my tools and my skates back.
That's something to look happy about.
I know. I got my bass guitar out there.
Okay. See?
Yeah.
So a lot of times it just depends on the way you look at it.
Huh. Maybe feel a little bit better about this drive.
You go and get your stuff, man. Yeah. You ought to be happy.
Yeah.
You had an opportunity, you know.
Huh. Came knocking, man.
No.
Open the door.
There you go.
Come on
go,
in.
Go get it. Go get it. When you get back in, you get good enough on that bass, you know, you add it to your repertoire, you know. You know, when I was back when I was a little boy.
I thought about it.
You know, it's kind of hard playing these bass with these short fingers. It looks even funnier when you stand this thing up and it's as tall as me.
Good old stand-up bass if I had
it. Stand-up comic for stand-up bass. Mm. See?
Yeah.
Gotta go get that bass, man.
Yeah. I gotta get good at it. I gotta get real good at it.
All you need is a couple chords because you're not playing the whole song.
Right.
You know, I've been trying to learn how to play this thing for 5 years now, and this is all I can play.
I wrote a song about it. Here you go.
Like Steve Martin. He used to have a banjo.
Yeah, banjo.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was just another thing just to break up the joke and think about something else. Stop and tell a joke.
Oh. Rick McDoon does, he also has an acoustic. He does some acoustic stuff sometimes. Dimitri Martin plays a harmonica as he does Pictionary.
Yeah. If that joke is bombing, you hit your and start thinking of something else. It's better than standing up there going, like I've seen some of them.
Oh, yeah. Even out of my open micers nowadays don't do that anymore. People, because we know this is like, it's tacky to go up there. If it's not your, if you're not just starting this joke, it's really tacky to go up there with your phone and your book and being like, all right, let me see what's next and actually pull your phone out and just scroll through it. I hate that. Like, if you're going to do that, man, put it on a stool to where you can just glance over at it. Maybe put you a book open or something like that. But don't scroll through your phone saying what's next. John used to do that. But John used to have a little skill behind it when he did that.
Yeah. Well, see, you get your little just like a little post-it note, and you know, and you stick it on your bass right there. And you know, you're playing and you forget something and you're going, you kind of like you got your head down playing the bass. You're looking at, what's my next joke? Yeah. But, hey.
This is good. I can't wait to change these contacts out of my eyes. Cause I've had them in for way too long. My whole time out in LA, these contacts have been in my eyes for at least 3 months without me taking them out, but also I've had them for 2 years, and they're like monthly. So.
How many things I'm holding?
It's a lot. But man, thanks, Dad. This has been fun. Look at that. See, we're almost an hour. And it didn't even feel like that.
Yeah, it was fun. Once you guys saw it, you know, I look back at you and realize that, you know, yeah, he was a clown. I wonder who he takes after.
Yeah, you guys. I get this from you guys.
I was a clown.
Mm-hmm.
I was a clown.
Oh, y'all, when I see the whole family together, and I see just all the brothers and everything, and I'm like, oh, my dad's the funniest. All right, but everybody together is just collectively funny, and I'm like, oh, this is where I get it from.
Man, we might be able to be like the Wayans or something. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know that last name is a little too.
The Wayans?
Yeah, the Wayans.
I've seen Damon Wayans Jr. I've seen him at one of the mics that I went to, and I actually went on after him. I wish he would have came in and seen me because I smashed it. He heard it though. He had to have heard it. I got a free drink and everything. They gave me a free drink. They was like, "You did good. We don't know who you are." I was like, "You will." And so it was. It's good to see him because he's hilarious. He's like, he's silly funny like his daddy. Like, silly. Like, talk about boogers and stuff. Like, just silly. And that's the type of comedy I like. I don't care about politics. Don't tell me all about that. What can you make up that's silly?
Yeah, I mean, God. It's kind of hard because you can't be funnier than the politics they have out there now. So, you know, it's like, God. How do you compete with that?
Yeah, I don't even bother. I just let them do their own little things. Let other people make jokes about that everybody else is gonna be making the same joke about. Yeah, it's like, all right, y'all ain't got no blind. Y'all either gonna be here or y'all gonna be there. Nobody wants to be over here doing their own thing. Everybody wants to be what everybody else is doing. Mm. That's why I don't stick to social sites as much. Just do it because I know it plugs myself. But
there's going to be a plan. You're going to make a plan. You're going to have a plan on what you're going to do because, like I said, this is the next chapter in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all it is. You're still young.
Yeah.
You never know. You might hit your stride at 40, 45, doing old man jokes or something.
Still looking young. Still looking young.
I tell y'all, don't worry about that. I don't
worry about that at all.
60 and 70 years old, like you're 40.
Yeah,
you
know? It's just other people, especially nowadays. Smaller people are living a lot longer. We don't have to take up as much air. And, you know, we don't take up that much room. So we fit in many places that other people can't go. And our knees don't give out as quick as other people's does. Even though we got that tricky knee, that Schmidt knee,
that's it though.
I think I'm gonna figure out how to work that out. It's something is gonna need to give.
My brother's having, but I haven't got it yet.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Cause I never know what that first step gonna be like in the morning. But until next time. Oh, Dad. Real quick. Which Joker would you be if you had to embody like one of the Jokers?
What Joker?
Joker. Me?
Huh?
Joker. The actual Joker from Batman. Joker.
Oh, I haven't seen them all.
You haven't seen them all?
No. Well, I haven't seen the last one. You've seen
the Heath Ledger Joker, right?
Who is that?
The Dark Knight? The Dark Knight Joker?
Yeah, he was...
Yeah.
I'd be the one from the TV series.
The original with Adam West?
Yeah.
Ah, there you go. There's a lot of people that say that Joker. He came up with practical things.
Yeah, he was really funny.
Yeah.
He made jokes. These Jokers are just insane.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'd be that Joker.
Oh, nice. That's a good way to put it. Well, all right, you guys. Thank y'all for listening. I've been your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. And this has been my father.
This is Kevin Smith. Thank you for listening. Put on my broadcast voice. And want to wish everyone a happy, happy New Year's. Thank you.
There it is. Yay!